Good evening. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. The readings begin on page 56 of the Missalette. To begin our Holy Eucharist, let us pray together the prayer for vocations found inside the gathered hymnals. Please rise. Almighty Father, you have created us for some definite purpose. Grant us the grace to know the path you have planned for us in this life and to respond with a generous yes. Make our archdiocese, parishes, homes, and hearts fruitful ground for your gift of vocation. May our young people respond to your call with courage and zeal. Stir among our men a desire and strength to be good and holy priests. Bless us with consecrated religious and those called to a chaste single life, permanent deacons and faithful husbands and wives who are a sign of Christ's love for his church. We commend our prayer for vocation to you, Father, through the intercession of Mary, our Mother, in the Holy Spirit, to Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please join me in singing our entrance hymn in gather number 3, 2, 1. Number 3, 2, 1.
Thank you. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do.
Thank you.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Hear me, O coastlands. Listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me. You are my servant, he said to me, Israel, to whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing, uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord. My recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him, and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Paul said, God raised up David as their king. Of him he testified, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my every wish. From this man's descendants, God, according to his promise, has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. John heralded his coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his course, he would say, What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. Behold, one is coming after me. I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet. My brothers, children of the family of Abraham, and those others among you who are God-fearing, to us this word of salvation has been sent. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord has shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, No, he will be called John. But they answered her, There is no one among your relatives who has this name. So they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, John is his name. And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed. And he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him. The child grew and became strong in spirit. And he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
I'm going to have to put this book back up here. I'm sure everybody has noticed over these last 2 years that I have this nervous tic of playing with the ribbon throughout my homily, so. You know, we get to the end of this gospel, and there's this line of the people who are talking about the child John as he is born. They say, what then will this child be? I would take a risk here. At some point in the evening, you'd probably ask my parents, what then will this child be? What they would have thought 25 years ago. Probably not where I am now. That's also what I would have thought, even as little as like 10 or 12 years ago. I think when I joined the Navy out of high school, my thought was, all right, I can go to the Navy, and then I can become the president someday. And there are probably a lot of people who think that would be better than what we have now. But anyhow, what then will this child be? And reflecting on the reality of John the Baptist and who he is. Obviously, there are only three birthdays that we celebrate in the church. Christmas, the birth of our Lord. September 8th, the birth of the Blessed Virgin. And today, the birth of John the Baptist. Which typically, during a regular year, we don't even get to celebrate because it usually just falls during the week. But this year it falls on a Sunday, so we get to celebrate this solemnity. Which is a great opportunity to reflect. Because if we think about who John the Baptist is and what he did. And how unique his life was. And how unique his mission in the church was. Even our Lord says, there is no one born of woman greater than John the Baptist. Which one should make us think, what about Mary? Didn't he have anything to say about it? We got in a whole discussion about that yesterday. But John the Baptist, no one greater born of woman. And it's because he's born of Zechariah, who is of the priestly lineage. He's born of Elizabeth, who is of the daughters and sons of Aaron, priestly lineage. And yet, he ends up in the desert, far away from the temple where the priests would have been. And yet, in the desert, he learns what God is asking him to do. He learns that it's not just the Old Testament history and the worship of God in the temple that is to save the people, but there's something more to come. And he learns there in the desert that his ancestors would have walked through, crossing the Jordan, entering into the Promised Land. He learns there that that something more is Christ, the true Lamb of God. And if we think about just the few words that John the Baptist says in the Gospels, there's some that should stand out. One, behold the Lamb of God. And then two, he must increase, I must decrease. And if we think about that mission, John being faithful to what he was given, being a sign in the world, pointing towards the true Lamb, pointing towards the fulfillment of all of the sacrifices of God's love, pointing towards the reality of our salvation in Christ. That should give us some hope that there is something out there, something that's different than the rest of the world, something that's different than the desert in which we all live in this society. And that same thing that John the Baptist discovered in his solitude in the desert is what we're each called to discover in our own lives and to be a sign of and to point towards as well. And I think thinking on this line, what then will this child be? I was reflecting on just my own life and obviously a little bit of a kind of crooked path over the years between the Navy and then religious life and now diocesan life and now with the, leaving religious life to go into diocesan priesthood to be a parish priest and now being sent back to the institution. Obviously, it has its crosses with it, but hopefully it's also not forever. Within that whole process, there was a day when I was in Connecticut in a seminary, and I was just reflecting, you know, what is it that God wants me to do with my life? And how do I decide what that is? Because obviously, for all of us, there are a lot of goods in our life. There are things that are this good or this good. Which way should I go? Which of these two things should I do? Should I stay in religious life? Should I go to the diocesan priesthood? Which is the better option? And they're both good options. And it was a feast of St. Joseph. And I remember in my prayer that day thinking, you know, it doesn't have to be hard. If we strive today in the little things that this day offers us to be able to follow God's will for us then in the big things of life, he's going to open the doors that need to be opened. He's going to guide us. He's going to give us the confidence of his encouragement and his accompaniment through our life to lead us as he desires. And I think all of us can reflect on this line, what then will this child be, and apply it to ourselves and our own life, and hopefully look with wonder and awe at what God has done in his mercy for us. and to be able to see that if we live today according to God's will, seeking to give him glory in all of our thoughts, our words, our actions, seeking to be able to reflect his presence to those around us, then all the other things that we worry about will fall into place because we're striving and disposing our heart to be able to give God glory today. I think all of us also know that that's sometimes easier to do and sometimes harder to do, and sometimes we screw it up. But God isn't asking us also to be absolutely perfect today. He's asking us to follow him. And that's the great gift that John the Baptist gives us. He points to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. And from that first moment that he says it, the disciples follow him. So let's ask him to intercede for us so that we can know in our relationship with Christ and recognize his presence to be able to follow him, to be able to also be a guidepost in this world to those around us, to be able to point out the way, the truth, and the life.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, consubstantial with the Father, through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from by the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified by Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord of the proceeds to the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is Lord and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess my baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, gathered as one to celebrate the good things we have received from our God, let us ask him to prompt in us prayers that are worthy of his hearing.
For the church throughout the world, that she may point to Christ's presence through the faithful witness of all Christian men and women, we pray to the Lord. For those who shepherd Christ's flock, especially Pope Francis and Archbishop Schnur, may they be generous and sacrificial in their ministry. We pray to the Lord. For all government and civil leaders, may they fulfill the responsibility entrusted to them for the good of all, particularly the poor and the vulnerable. We pray to the Lord. For all who suffer any sort of trial, persecution, or injustice, may the commitment of all Christians to the ways and teachings of Christ be a source of leaven to the world. We pray to the Lord. For the members of St. Anthony, St. Margaret, St. John, and St. Cecilia parishes, may we all be zealous in our desire to serve God and each other. We pray to the Lord. For all the priests of the Archdiocese, especially those beginning new assignments in the coming weeks, may they be faithful to the call they have received. We pray to the Lord. For the sick the dying, and those who care for them, and for all who have asked for our prayers, and for all the faithful departed, we pray to the Lord. For all the intentions we each bring to the Lord's altar this day, we pray to the Lord.
May your mercy, we beseech you, O Lord, be with your people who cry to you, so that what they seek at your prompting, they may obtain by your ready generosity, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our preparation in Missal Latin number 203. Number 203 in the Missal Latin.
Thank you. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
We place these offerings on your altar, O Lord, to celebrate with fitting honor the nativity of Him, who both foretold the coming of the world's Savior and pointed Him out when He came, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
For their redemption of all their souls.
in hope of health and well-being, in paying their homage to you, the eternal God, living and true. In communion with those whose memory we venerate, especially the glorious Ever Virgin Mary, Mother of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles and martyrs, Peter and Paul, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, and Jude, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, Lawrence, Chrysogonus, John, Paul, Cosmas, and Damian, and all your saints. We ask that through their merits and prayers in all things we may be defended by your protecting help.
Therefore, Lord, we pray, graciously accept this oblation of our service, that of your holy name. Order our days in your peace, and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation, and counted among the flock of those who have chosen. Be pleased, O God, we pray, to bless, acknowledge, and approve this offering in every respect, make it spiritual and acceptable, so that it may become for us the body and blood of your most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day before he was to suffer, he took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took this precious chalice with his holy and venerable hands, and once more giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for men, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." In humble prayer, we ask you, Almighty God, command that these gifts be borne by the hands of your holy angel to your altar on high, in the sight of your divine majesty, so that all of us, through this participation at the altar, receive the most holy body and blood of your Son, may be filled with every grace and heavenly blessing.
To us also, your servants, food those sinners, help in your abundant mercies, graciously grant some share in fellowship with your holy apostles and martyrs, with John the Baptist, Stephen, Matthias, Barnabas, Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, and all your saints. Admit us, we beseech you, into their company, not weighing our merits, but granting us your pardon through Christ our Lord.
Through whom you continue to make all these good things, O Lord, you sanctify them, fill them with life, bless them, and bestow them upon us.
Thank you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say a word, and my soul shall be healed.
Let us pray. Having feasted at the banquet of the heavenly Lamb, we pray, O Lord, that finding joy in the nativity of St. John the Baptist, your church may know as the author of her rebirth, the Christ whose coming John foretold, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
But as you also often know, he always has the last word, so before he says anything, I just want to thank everybody, obviously, who came here tonight to worship together and to be able to have this time of prayer. It's beautiful to see people from all three parishes here. Obviously, thank you to everybody who helped put this together. A lot of people, I'm not going to begin to start to name all of them. Special thanks to Father Jamie for the last 2 years. It's been great, obviously, to work with Monsignor. And Father Dave is not here, but he obviously is good to work with too. Father Craig is good to have him. Wish you well on your assignment begins next week as well. Thank you to everybody for just all that you've done for me for the last 2 years. I know a lot of people think, well, thank you for everything you've done for us, but obviously we're all in this together and it's very mutual. So thank you for supporting me, for praying for me. Please continue to pray for me, because as we all know from the Catholic Telegraph's wonderful article, Brother Jason has no idea what he's doing. So I need a lot of help in this new assignment as I figure out what it is. But I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, I hope someday to be back in the parish. Please pray that that be God's will. Praise God's will. Praise God. And then hopefully, I'm sure that I'll probably end up with my short list of substitutes since I'm so close by. So I don't want to call this my last mass, but just a farewell mass for now until the next time. And obviously, I'll be around during the week. And I think I said this to St. Margaret today, but I'm actually not moving out of the rectory of St. Margaret for a few more weeks because of just the whole way the domino effect works with priests moving. So I'll be around, although I am starting my new job next week. So please keep me in your prayers. Know that I'll pray for all of you. And again, thank you for all that you've done.
I do want to acknowledge a couple. You know, for our vocation truly to be to nurtured and to be accepted, it takes help, especially from the parents. And so, in a very special way, I ask Mr. and Mrs. Williams to please stand and be acknowledged as they are here today. So please stand. So we want to thank them. Truly takes support from the family, and especially from the parents, for vocation to be answered. And so I thank them on behalf of all of us. We've been truly blessed. I was a little bit taken back when, I'd have to say, when he was, Father Jason was doing his words and his homily, and he was saying, you know, after now I've been in the region, and Father Jamie has been here to lead me and guide me. Now I'm going to be sent back to the institution. I hope I haven't done that. I hope the pastoral region hasn't done that to you. But, in all seriousness, I know that we are forever grateful for Father Jason and his ministry. I know that for, speaking of all the priests that have been here and all those that have ministered with him, that, you know, I appreciate deeply not only your support, you know, you're very much, as newly ordained, he's smarter than I. He just got out of the seminary, and so it was always good to be able to go back to him and to ask him, now, is this the way it's supposed to be? So, you know, and it was so helpful for him with his leadership skills, his willingness to dive right in, you know, to take on the pastoral region as the worship and the worship areas, and also, you know, be able to take over Hispanic ministry, and just to be able to just do the things that, you know, I didn't even have to ask, and that is truly, he's just willing to take on things, and I truly appreciate not only his support, but also, you know, his, in many ways, being a brother priest to me, and to all of us, to Monsignor Lane, and We've been blessed by his friendship. I think one of the things that comes out of doing priestly work with another priest, hopefully you become friends, and that is truly has occurred. And so lifelong friends, I'm sure. And so I'm truly blessed. And I think we've all been blessed by his presence here. While we're saying goodbye, we know we'll see him again. And so the diocese has picked up a good man and Father Jason, and continue to do great work in our parish. And we wish you well, Father Jason. You're a great man and a great priest. Thank you very much.
Number 528 in gas.